Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is August 18th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. We do love having you on live, though. Love having you as part of the discussion. And so welcome you to do that. I'm going to start the call off. Good morning. I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Was there anything that that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or any questions we can help you with, anything we can answer for you? Anybody?
I actually have a question. We are in Texas. This is Kelly. And at the Texas Water Quality Association, they mentioned that there's a specific type of chlorine that is recommended to use for chlorinating a well. Most water treatment specialists that I know just use, you know, the straight chlorine that you go buy from the store.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a location that you guys recommend for getting the specific, you know, whatever you call it, grade for doing water treatment purification?
Well, so most people, great question. So I think what they're probably referring to, and somebody else, if somebody else has a different answer to this, please jump in there and correct me too. But probably what they're referring to is the percent, the chlorine percentage. So generally speaking, household bleach, regular chlorine bleach, is only about 4% chlorine, sodium hypochlorite. When you get what most water treatment companies use, or well drillers, or when you're chlorinating a well, they'll usually use the tablets or pellets, which can be, I believe that's calcium hypochlorite is what that is. That is usually 70% bleach or 70% chlorine, so much, much, much stronger, also more caustic, more dangerous. You definitely do not want to stick your nose in a bucket of those things and take a big whiff, because it'll fry your lungs out. But you've just got a much, much stronger concentration of the chlorine. So that's probably what they were referring to. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
We touched on that a little bit this past week when I was working with the plumbers, which is our topic today. And I've also taken a couple of classes. I'm just going to throw this resource out there, and I'm drawing a blank. I think it's privatewellclasses.org. I know we said last week we were going to put a link up on our website. We will shortly here. But anyways, there's a class that's out there that you can read. They have like hundreds of hours of webinars, but they had mentioned, yes, the tablet. They do not recommend using straight household bleach, which most homeowners will do. And I think we're getting a little bit of background. Whoever just logged on, you could mute yourself. But anyways, whoever's using like household bleach, the problem is as that bleach is going down the well casing, it can start corroding things. And not only that, it just caused a lot of other issues. So they recommend using the tablets. Where you would purchase those, I would say, I don't know if you can purchase it without being a well driller or a water treatment person. I'm sure you can, but I'm not sure where you would get that.
The pool supply store.
Pool
supply store. Well, those are the pellets a lot of times, but any water treatment company can do it too.
Just a second. I didn't understand the store. I couldn't underhear you.
A pool supply store?
Yeah.
And or if you're a water treatment dealer, then wherever you buy your chemicals from.
Well, husband is my technician. He's asking me how to get the pellets down the tablets down the well casing.
So that's going to be depending
oh, yeah.
on the site of your of. You know, I think that's going to be the design of your well, and probably I know a lot of times, like there are some states even where you have to be a licensed well driller in order to do that. So I'm not sure about Texas. I'm not sure what the regulations are there, but probably, I mean, if it's the pellets, you could pretty easily just drop them down in there. There's room for them to go. If they're the pucks, then, you know, that would be more difficult, of course. But anybody else from Texas that or could answer that question?
So I know this is probably a crazy answer on how to do it, but I learn a lot from YouTube. So, but I'm also learning as I get older that if I'm not familiar with how to do it, then seek the advice of somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
I've messed up too many times and I don't like messing up on other people's homes.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to mess up with high chlorine like that anyway, with your own body.
Right.
You know, obviously you should be wearing gloves to handle the pellets and whatnot, but
yeah.
And I know like when I had my well shock, they dropped the pellets down and then, when I had a new well done, drilled, they dropped the pellets down and then it sat for a period of time. And then we had to run the hose for quite a long time. And then he had a chlorine test that he carried around with him to make sure all the chlorine had made it out so that we weren't ingesting that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I had my house, I used 2 gallons of household bleach, which at the time was what had been recommended to me to chlorinate mine, except I only had 1 gallon of the regular bleach, and then the other gallon was this floral-scented stuff. And so I put the 2 gallons down. That doesn't work when you're running out the house. It smelled, I don't know if you remember that orange stuff they used to put on the throw up in the elementary school, you know, that's what my house smelled like. It was so bad. There was a nice little picture there for everybody on the professional MV Pro call this morning. But yeah.
I remember the orange stuff now.
gosh. Anyway, the memories. So that great question. It's a good question. So anybody else?
Okay, thank you.
Everything? Yeah.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No,
how long does it take
these
tablets to dissolve?
I mean, they usually will sit there for 24 to 48 hours, and then it takes, as Jen was saying, a longer time even for it to run out, you know, so they need to run for at least a day. But they'll dissolve pretty quickly. You know, the pellets are going to take longer than you know, I wasn't aware, and Jen just taught me something about the corrosive nature of, you know, of pouring liquid bleach down into the well, because prior to Jen saying that, I always heard that you dissolve them in solution first and then pour that down into the wellhead. But apparently, based on what Jen just learned this last week, I might have been told wrong, or that might be the wrong way of doing it. So 10 minutes ago, Stacey, I would have answered the question, let them dissolve in solution and pour it down the well.
Yeah.
So
for the record, the website is privatewellclass.org.
Privatewellclass. I think that is it?
Yes, privatewellclass.
Are you asking me? Okay.
No, that's it. privatewellclass.org.
It is. I'll tell you what, I've watched, I think a total of 4, and they're each almost 2 hours. One of them was more than 2 hours, and you get so much information. And it's a nonprofit. It's great, and they're all free. So highly recommend. There's a class you can take on there also, which is I haven't yet. It's a 10-week course.
So each of those classes, I think there's like 10 or 12 classes. They're all like 2 hours long. I've only done like three of them because then I got sidetracked.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I started using them as a resource probably 3 years ago or so.
Oh, nice.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Because they do have some good general information.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So privatewellclass.org. Awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? So our topic today is going to be kind of related to this. And it was spawned by a conversation that Jen and I were having yesterday. Jen spent the last week with Dr. Tanya Lubner from WQA and Marion Metzger from ResinTech and a few others in Ann Arbor, Michigan, teaching several classes to plumbers who then won. So the program was they train the trainers. So these are plumbers that are interested in having their teams or their companies get involved in water treatment, and so we went in. When I say we, I mean our industry. Tanya, you know, WQA, Jen, you know, several professionals from our industry went and helped teach them proper installation, water testing, you know, different best practices, those types of things. And Jen mentioned to me that while having conversation with one of our well-respected clients, somebody that we have known for a very long time, does a great job, owns a dealership, said to her, "Oh, so you guys are training our competition." And that prompted, I've heard that a ton of times before. You see that all over the place when you go to the Water Treatment Pros Facebook page. You know, there are often people on who make comments or have opinions regarding plumbers and whether or not they should be installing or not. And so I wanted to just have a conversation about that and see, you know, just kind of see in general. I was curious in general what the people who come to this call feel about that, and maybe to offer a couple suggestions on how to coexist, if you will. So let me ask you guys first, before I jump in with any of my opinions. I mean, do you agree with that assessment that we shouldn't be training our competition? Or that it's maybe a conflict of interest to be training our competition or to training plumbers? Do you view them as our competition? In general, what do you guys think about our, when I say our, I mean the water treatment professionals' relationship with a plumber?
This is Kelly. I don't find that they're competition at all. I would say that there's three companies in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that I know of that are large plumbing companies, you know, meaning they're franchises that focus on water purification, and then, you know, a handful of others that do as far as softeners. What I do find, though, is if we were to ever have to pull a permit in cities, then the plumbers seem to have a better capability, let's call it, of doing that. The cities don't always agree that water treatment specialist professions, I guess, understand the plumbing codes well enough to pull the permit. So I find them as a resource, actually. The only negative that I've come across, two negatives that I've come across, is if they were to reinstall a reverse osmosis, about 50% of the time they don't get the drain hole lined up with the saddle or where the hole, you know, in the drain line meet. And so, you know, you'll get a call from the customer that says, oh, I had my kitchen remodeled. They put it back in, and then you go and look, and they haven't done it correctly. So I'm assuming that that was not a master plumber that would have done that, because, you know, you would think that the master plumber would know these things. And then I just lost my train of thought on what the other negative was. But my technician, my husband is my business partner also, and he said, you know, they're just a lot more expensive than somebody that's trained in water treatment specialist.
Right.
So those are a couple of negatives that we find, but in general, I find that it's very positive to have them, you know, at your hip to be able to help you and help the customer, because the customer is going to have more plumbing issues than they're going to have water treatment issues.
Excellent, Kelly. Anybody else? What do you guys think? What's your experience or relationship with your plumbers?
Well, I am a plumber. I switched over to water treatment, and I guess being from both sides of it, I see what that last person was just saying. Like, we can pull permits. We have a license. Now, I'm from Chicago, so I don't know how most of your guys' towns work. But I know as far as it goes, like, the plumbers by me, they need to be educated. I went through 6 years of schooling, and I look at some of the stuff that these guys do and did and still do, and it's like they have no idea. Like, the water is good enough. And I know I come from Chicago, where they say our water is the best in the world and all that stuff. So in their mind, this doesn't exist. And then I watch them just fiddle through it. But a lot of the plumbing companies I try to help out here, as far as, like, I don't look at them as competition. I look at them as an opportunity to sell to, like, so I can sell equipment to them. I can do all that. So if I can educate them on what they need, they're going to come back to me every time. And being a plumber, being one of them, I know how to talk to them. I understand the codes. I understand the water sizing and stuff like that. And that's the one thing I have been noticing, especially because I'm now taking the WQA classes, is that water treatment, water, like, pipe sizing and plumber pipe sizing, there's a big difference in there. And I feel that both fields need to mesh so we can better the homeowner, because – some water treatment, you look at some of the installs, and like what I see on that play thing on Facebook, it's like, oh my God, how is this even allowed? And then, you know, like there's just hoses going in circles and around. And it's like, okay, why aren't we taking the pride? But it's like they, and I'm speaking in general here, that a lot of the water treatment professionals don't have the schooling or the ability, or I don't know, like the know-how to pipe correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was excellent.
Who is
Thank
it?
You so much for
who
that.
Who just
yeah.
spoke?
Joe, Teresi.
Hey, Joe, how are you? And Kelly, I'm
good,
so excited that you guys are on the call also. I love seeing you at TWQA. You know, I just in the time that I spent with the plumbers, now I was with the plumbers union, and there were over 3,000.
I'm sorry in advance.
Oh,
those are mostly my teachers that you were with, a lot of them.
Oh, really? So
I'll
tell you, they were, and as a matter of fact, one gentleman, Brian, he's the one that was sitting in with us, and he just, something that I found was, you know, they, like you said, the plumbing is, especially when, a lot of times when they're union, plumbing was, looked excellent. I mean, they had apprentices doing contests and things like that, and they were very specific, and they had very specific questions also. In a couple more minutes, whoever else talk, and then I'm going to kind of do a little bit of a overview of my week with them, what I had seen, because I ended up going into multiple classes. I was helping train on one, but went into multiple. But I want to hear what anybody else has to say about the relationship.
All right, go ahead, Jen.
Oh, okay. So nobody has anything. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut everybody off.
I'd love to hear your experience in kind of working with them. And then I have a couple of suggestions before we end just to summarize everything too. But go ahead.
So this week, this was the second time when we did this. Like I said, it's the Plumbers Union and a great, great group of men and women. There were women there also. But just great group of people. And one thing that in the class that we learned, the reason that we started doing this was to help bridge that gap between the water treatment and the plumbers. And also one of the things that they do in their training is they're doing the MEP course, same thing that we are. So we're on the same boat with the water, and you know, them applying that to the plumbing. But one of the things that I noticed with most of the people that were in our classroom, we talk about contaminants and we talk about, you know, the water. And there were a couple of them that they're just like, it's not just water. They decided, you know, maybe it's best if we do build a partnership with a water treatment company. You know, a great way to a partnership is we don't do toilets usually. We don't auger drains. We don't, you know, usually install hot water tanks. So if you have a partnership between a water treatment and a plumber, then awesome. You know, it can go both ways very easily. Now, there were a couple of the franchise in particular that Kelly and I went out and visited with probably about 10 years ago. And he said that ever since then, he just absolutely has loved the water treatment. But he also has gotten to know how to treat the water. You know, and he was able to answer a lot of questions for the guys as far as, you know, the plumbing into the softeners and things like that. But, you know, it was something he took upon himself to learn in the water treatment. It wasn't like WQA was training him or anything like that. Because I know that was kind of a concern that people have had is that, you know, WQA is training our competition, which is not true. But at any rate, no, they were a great group. Most of them agreed, though, hey, this is a lot of stuff. Even if we do install it, then we would prefer that somebody else maintain it. It was kind of the consensus.
So this is
Elaine in California, and I know the right answer would be like, yes, everyone should work together because it advances the good of the industry as a whole, and that is true. However, you know, certain states like ours, you have to have a certain license to install water conditioning. It's called a C-55. We also have to pull permits on every single job, and we have to have the city come out and inspect it. We also have to, we have no basements, so we have, you know, complicated installs. So a lot of times people don't want to go through the extra cost of that, so they'll just have their friend, the plumber, somebody else do it. And so other people are not necessarily held to the same standards that we are as Californians. So that creates neighbors against neighbors, like, well, my uncle did this for this price, and why are we charging more? Why are we pulling a permit? So there's those things that occur.
Yeah, that's actually, I was going to kind of address that. Thank you, Elaine. You just kind of highlighted one of the suggestions I was going to have in regards to what Kelly said, and I think that you, with the permits and the requirements there, are even further ahead. You know, Kelly was saying it's easier for the plumbers to pull those permits because of the relationship. This is where we should utilize the resources. And I know, Elaine, you guys do this a lot, you know, using the resources at WQA to get involved in those regulatory and legal issues to make sure that the messaging and the laws are consistent and fair and for us, because there have been a lot of states where the plumbers unions have gone in and, you know, basically tried to you know, they have gotten either succeeded or almost succeeded in getting laws passed that would have essentially put many water treatment dealerships out of business because of the licensing requirements and stuff like that. So that is a really strong argument for getting involved. And Kelly, I would say that to you to reach out to WQA, you know, to Jordan, to the regulatory committee there and have them get involved in those conversations, you know, to help liaison between the two industries. And Elaine, to your point as well, there are always going to be those dealers and plumbers that just because of their life history or their experiences or whatever, do not ever see any value in working together. So we're never going to have 100% warm and fuzzy the relationship between the two industries. On the other hand, I don't think it's healthy to assume for many of you on the call that is the case with every plumber, or if you're a plumber, that is the case with every water treatment company. In my experience, there are a lot of plumbers that would rather not do water treatment. They don't know how to do water treatment, and they don't want to, and mostly because they don't really understand. I mean, they can plumb it in, and it looks beautiful. And to your point, Joe, the things that people, some of the installers in our industry, could learn about installation and things like that are, I mean, they're two related industries, but also different. And we could definitely learn from each other on what, there's going to be a lot more value to our customers and to our industries if we are able to bridge those gaps and have a conversation. Many times plumbers get into water treatment because there aren't really any, or they're not aware of any really reputable or solid water treatment dealers around their area. And a lot of that simply because we haven't talked to each other. We haven't reached out and communicated. You know, many times they don't know how to set them up. And to the point about the drain, I loved how diplomatic you were, Kelly, in saying that the drains, that it probably wasn't a master plumber that reconnected that drain. But I would say that I don't know that that's necessarily true, and not because master plumbers don't know an awful lot about plumbing, way more than I will ever know, but they very possibly may not have a lot of experience in connecting an RO drain. You know, I can tell you there are plenty of master plumbers out there that don't understand the flow restrictor that comes in the, you know, they think just a little quarter inch tubing for a drain, no problem. Well, many of these have that little flow restrictor in that RO drain line. And if that's not in there, if you don't know that that's going to be there, it's the RO is not going to function. You know, so there are things that we can learn from each other on, you know, and so making the effort, I think what I want to encourage everybody on this call to do, and I think sometimes it can't happen, right? I mean, sometimes they're too far gone. You just have to, that's always going to be the case. You're not going to get along with everybody. But the fact is, when we go out there and we do a shoddy installation and it looks like crap, or we don't follow codes, or we are just throwing something in and what we do looks, you know, basically like a homeowner special, that hurts us. It hurts all of us. It hurts our industry. It does harm to all of us, and leads credence and credibility to a plumber who says they shouldn't be doing this. So if you are having issues with the plumbers, you should step up your game and learn from them and learn how to make sure that you are doing everything, appropriately. On the other hand, when a plumber goes out and throws something in and it's plumbed in beautifully, but it might be drained wrong, or the settings are wrong on the system, or they recommended the wrong type of equipment and they just threw something in because they don't understand that one size doesn't fit all, that also does harm to our industry, to both of our industries, and it lends credibility and credence to the complaints and concerns that water treatment dealers have about plumbers putting the stuff in. The only solution to that, and it's not going to solve the entire problem, is for us to recognize that we are all in the same industry, even though they're peripheral sections of it. It's all dealing with water, and it's too important to live to go to our own corners and stay isolated in our own little bubbles. We should be putting forth an effort and to respect them and to work with them, to both learn from them and to teach them when possible. That's my final thoughts on it. Anybody else have anything to add to that?
And I agree with everything you said there. Like I said before, if with water treatment people, if we educate plumbers, right, if we're that company that educates them, or like you said, I have tons of companies around me that literally just throw in a 48K softener and iron filter on everything. Doesn't matter what it is, just throw it in. And if you're the company that educates them, you're not gonna get bumped out. You're the one that they're all gonna come to. So yeah. I don't look at it as competition. I look at it as I'm gonna be the one. I'm the one that you all come to and make it better.
Perfect. And that is, I think, the perfect way to finish up the call today. So thank you, everybody. I really do appreciate it. It's a great conversation. Thanks. Thank you, everybody. Be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.